Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
You're listening to First Time Dads
with me, Richard Innes,
and me, Steve Meyer.
For this episode, we welcome back friend of the show, Han Sun from Daddy Life, who has done some very, very interesting research into a subject close to the hearts of many fathers, flexible working hours, or, as it may be, not so flexible. Enjoy.
Han Sun, thanks very much for coming back on the podcast. It's great to talk to you again.
Brilliant to be back, guys. Thanks so much for having me back on.
You guys have done some research which caught our Rich and I's eye, which is why we wanted to talk to you again. Can you tell us a little bit about the research and what you found?
Absolutely fine. Yeah, so we've just launched a report called The Millennial Dad at Work, and you can find it on daddylife.com. And it's a research program we have completed with just over 2,000 working dads across every region of the UK, broken down into different job sectors as well. And what we wanted to discover is where dads are feeling that tension at work, where specifically, and what needs to be done to move towards more of that equalization of parenting at work as well as home. So what we found, some key highlights, is that the number of the dads, the working dads, who said that they were actively involved actually was exactly the same figure as Dad Index, funny enough. So, you know, nearly 9 out of 10 dads profiled being actively involved in the home. But what we found is that there's a huge tension in terms of how dads are treated at work in order to make that happen. So even though most agreed that they thought their organization would support active fatherhood, what's happening in practice is that actually huge disparities between what flexible working dads are requesting versus what they're actually being granted. So as an example of that, 14% of all the dads we surveyed said that they'd requested working from home 1 to 2 days a week since becoming a dad, but less than 1 in 5 had actually been granted it. And that gets even lower in certain industries, unfortunately. And that's just one example. So we profile each and every different type of flexible working pattern as well within the report. And as a result, a third of the dads we profiled actually said that they'd changed jobs since becoming a dad.
That's remarkable. So 1 in 3 people have said they've changed jobs just on the basis of becoming a dad and needing to change their arrangements.
That's right. That's right.
Amazing.
And then, but another third on top of that are actively looking.
Wow.
So you've got 2/3 who've either changed or actively looking, which has some huge ramifications around talent retention, around line management. And also, unfortunately, some really, really negative effects of that as well. So we found that as a result of that, and as a result of that tension, and we've profiled where exactly in the organization they feel that tension from in terms of employers, colleagues, partners in some cases as well. It's actually having quite a huge detrimental impact on their mental health. So over a third had actually said that they are sort of regularly negatively affected in terms of their kind of mental state, having to kind of be present around both. And the sense of real dad guilt is emerging as well.
Well, we talked about we've talked about dad guilt many, many, many times on this podcast. I don't know, when you came on previously, you know, right back at the start of the podcast life, we had a very similar conversation. I'm just looking at some of your results from your research, actually, and one of the ones that really jumped out at me was that 44% of the dads who have requested a change in working hours were unsuccessful. So that's that. Am I right in saying that means that nearly half of the men who have gone to their bosses and said, "I need to tweak something here because I've got a baby to look after," nearly half of them have been told, "No chance, on your bike, carry on."
Yep. That's exactly right.
I mean, that does not say much for the state of the UK workplace, because that presumably includes all manner of types of jobs. We're not talking about, you know, liberal metropolitan elites like Steve and myself. We're talking about men across the country in various levels of work, and half of them are being told you can't even change your working hours because you want to help look after your kids.
And I would like
That's correct.
I would like to know, and I'm sure you don't know this, but is it other dads telling other dads you can't be dads?
I mean, yeah, presumably in many cases it will be, right? Because we know that men are more likely to be in, you know, again, as wrong as that may be, we know the reality is that men are more likely to be in positions of where they're managers and have people reporting into them. So yeah, presumably, I guess, I mean, we're making assumptions here, but that will be a lot of fathers who will be telling other new fathers, nope, you need to keep doing what you're doing, I'm afraid.
Yeah, that's right, unfortunately. So what we always talk about is that what we're going through at the moment is one of the largest generational shifts that's ever happened about parenthood. And there is that tension between older generation and newer generation around just that sense of empathy, that understanding of, you know, why, you know, well, I did it this way and that was absolutely fine. Why should you want that? You know, type of thing that's happening, unfortunately, all too commonplace.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true. I'm very fortunate in the sense that when I became a dad and I applied for flexible working and reduced my hours, my boss, Ben, who's not a dad, he was very open to it. And, you know, I now work 4 day week, slightly condensed hours. And, you know, it's great. And I'm forever grateful for that. And you know, continuing as I've changed roles within the business and changed my days off, that's been accommodated too. And it's you know, something that the editor of the Mirror is very positive about, I think, dads. And I think, you know, broadly speaking, I think it should be encouraged. But it's interesting to know there's still these traditional roadblocks that are standing in the way of a lot of dads.
I agree with you. I mean, that's essentially why we've launched also the Dads at Work Hub. So the hub, which is also available on the site, is now our dedicated area to focus on those sorts of case studies, those sorts of stories, just showing that sort of change is possible. So we're going to be profiling different dads, different working scenarios every single month to really encourage that conversation and just show that change is not just possible, but really that it should be happening much quicker. And provided a few guides on the hub as well, just to make sure that dads feel that they've got the right support and guidance all the way through. So we've got a series of really dedicated guides and sort of paternity calendar resources just to help dads on their journey as well.
It does seem to me that this is sort of indicative, I suppose, of a lot of these cultural generational changes that may be going on in a whole different sort of sets of spheres of society. But when we're talking about parenthood, as you said, you know, there is a massive generational shift going on. What tends to happen, of course, is that there's all this talk and there's a lot of positive talk and a lot of positive sentiment about, yes, of course, yeah, fathers should be more involved and that's how it is now and that's the modern day father, blah, 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 blah. Actually converting that into action and day-to-day reality is often a thing that takes God knows how long. And the results of your survey are showing that, yeah, while a lot of companies might be talking a good game and saying, yeah, absolutely, we're a progressive business and blah, 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 the reality is that they're not actually putting that into place.
And sometimes it's a hidden reality. So it's really easy to say and to sort of change, you know, a policy on your website, on your careers website, for instance, about how inclusive you are. But then when it comes to real action, that's where it's falling down. So yeah, the part of the hub is really how we shine a light on that. And part of what we've done is actually on the hub, we've just created a dad-to-dad mentoring program where we're just creating and creating a few connections around just a dad-to-dad conversation with dads external to the organization. So you can be matched with a dad who's kind of been there, done it, but is absolutely, you know, more embracing and more empathetic and can help another dad through that change in their workplace. So that just kicked off last week as well and is part of the hub. So we're really excited about just bringing that to life physically as well as online.
I think it's really interesting that it's across the board survey rather than, you know, I get this feeling that in London, in media, it's a very different approach for dads. Dads are much more flexible. You know, you can do drop-offs and pick-ups and people are much more forgiving about it. I suspect when you get out of London and you get into perhaps lower paid jobs, it's much harder. You know, a dad who's working as a warehouse worker, perhaps, you know, out of London is not going to have the flexibility, especially you read these stories about people that work for some of the big retailers who have these, you know, GPS on their body so they know where they are in the warehouse, their toilet breaks are timed. You don't imagine that guy's going to get much much help when he goes in and says, oh, do you mind if I work flexibly? And the answer might be, well, you can work nights or you can work days. That's
yeah.
it.
That's right. Yeah. I think what we found, that definitely did come through in the survey, and you can see for certain questions as an industry breakdown as well. So for certain areas, actually, one of the sort of more warming or heartwarming insights that we found was actually there's a lot of real positivity happening in construction, for instance, around different changing hours and flexible hours. But when you come down to, I guess, more traditional industries, I'd say, and part of that actually includes media in certain regions, there's actually a lot of disparity between what's requested and what's granted. And I guess, you know, given that sometimes the nature of the job means that, you know, for instance, in the medical sector, you know, when you're on, you've got to be on. And there's a certain level of flexibility that you've got to account for there in terms of a caveat. But what we found is that flexibility isn't always just about in time off or working differently. Sometimes it's just about that understanding from the employer that, you know, yes, you've got to take your child to that important appointment, or you've got to have that time off to change this particular thing on this day for a different appointment or for a family reason, etc. And so I think beyond even fixed ways of working, just that sense of empathy about the day-to-day understanding is the thing that we found to be massively missing as well.
Do you find that that empathy is more likely to be shown towards more senior members of staff? And I just
because I
just sort of quote my own experience here, in the sense that I'm now perhaps in a more senior role within the business here than I was, say, 3 years ago. And actually, 3 years ago, the nature of my day-to-day work would have made it far, far more difficult for me to say, actually, do you know what, I'm going to come in an hour late and work an hour later than I can now, because I have that slight more freedom as a more senior member of staff. And I presume that is borne out by what you found in your survey as well.
You're absolutely right. So there's a whole chapter dedicated to what we call the flexibility gap. And we found that dads who are earning approximately 70,000 or more are far more likely, actually about three times more likely, to have their requests granted. But it means that anyone not earning that is unfortunately nowhere near the level of being requested, you know, as little as 10%, actually, in some cases. There's a massive gap between those earning more and those not.
I wonder if that's, as you get more senior, you're more likely to be left to do the job yourself, and you're less micromanaged than if you are on a lower income role. So if you're, you know, if you're kind of a senior exec on, you know, earning 100 grand a year or whatever, you're probably going to be running your own diary.
Yeah, who's going to be on top of you saying, why weren't you in at 9 a.m? You know, that's essentially what it comes down to, isn't it? Is that if you've got a line manager who sits on top of you on a day-to-day basis monitoring your work, it's going to be far more difficult, right? Whereas if you have that slight more, you know, a bit more autonomy in the workplace.
Flexibility,
yeah.
No, I think that's a really good point, really fair point. I think the thing that we did differently this year to last year's Dad Index is that we actually profiled the partners as well, so the working status of partner and how that affects the different tensions. And actually, it's a pretty telling story there that we found that more and more partners, both mom, dad, or dad and dad, or whatever makeup of family, are increasingly working more and more hours. They're increasingly working more always on. But actually, both are, as a result of that, actually feeling more tension with each other. So there's a huge stat around tensions with partners, despite the fact that both may be working and what's happening there. And that tension isn't necessarily always a money tension. It's really a time tension as well, and just that sense of quality time with children themselves. So I think, you know, there is a real call to action around how we can help really maximize productivity and performance, but not necessarily with perhaps previous years gone by ways of managing people. And I think that's what it really calls out for, that we do need to start rethinking what success at work really looks like and how we can then facilitate that.
Yeah, and I think as well as the standard of living that most people aspire to is sort of within a certain reach. It's like, well, how much more do you want? And you start to prioritize where you spend your time. Certainly, that's how I feel.
Yeah,
you know, I've always thought at the back of my mind, I want to, you know, be able to have, you know, live in a home that I can afford. You know, have a couple of weeks holiday a year. And be able to make, you know, impulse buys. Above and beyond that, I'm not seeking, you know, a Ferrari. That might be my age, though. That might come to me in a couple of
years'
time.
Give it 5 years.
I'll be down the Porsche garage. Yeah, but,
when I'm next on.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to kind of spend time with the kids because I don't like handing over the parenting to other people too much. I mean, they go to nursery, but they don't go to nursery all week. And I feel like I should be hands-on. And that's part of what our thinking where I came into flexible working was because we felt that we were both working 5 days a week and we weren't seeing the kids. And or we weren't seeing the kid at that point and our kids. And that's why I don't work Fridays. So that I, you know, and believe you me, some Fridays I wish I was at work. But, you know, it's great. And, it, you know, it won't last forever. They'll, sooner or later, they won't want to hang out with dad. And then perhaps my working life will change again. But, you know, I'm fortunate to be able to access that. And I can't imagine, you know, what it must be like if you really want that and you can't do it. It must be heartbreaking.
Well, I think that's why the stats kind of called out around the mental health effects and just that tension that they're feeling all around, you know, whether from employer, colleague, client, or even partner, that you're right, you know, actually without that fundamental access to do those things, every day can just be a little bit more grating.
Well, Rich is going to become dad for a second time in a couple of weeks' time.
Well, less than that, yeah. As we record this, I am the birth of my second child is imminent. And actually, it's funny, hearing Steve describe your kind of wants and desires in terms of, you know, money and work and all that at the moment, I think that's perfectly reasonable. And I think generally I would agree. But then you think, well, actually, I'm going into a situation now where my wife's salary is going to disappear quite soon. Mm-hmm. And we will be living hand to mouth. And I'm aware that I am going to rack up some debt. Realistically, there will be, over the next year, I'm going to be in a position where I'm going to have to earn every penny I can. But realistically, the credit card bill is going to get bigger. The savings are going to disappear. And that's the reality because then you get, and then, you know, but 2-3 years from now, hopefully I'll be in a position where things are a bit more healthy financially.
Yeah, yeah. It was a debt for me to do my shared rental leave.
Exactly, yeah.
Because I didn't get paid.
Because you take the hit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's like your point, isn't it? That we're sitting here maybe in a position to do that because we're both very fortunate. But there will be people who are living hand to mouth anyway. And then you throw the baby into the mix and you think, and it's like you said, there'll be people who want to spend time with their kids who just can't. And my question is really, where does the tipping point come? Because this all seems to fit into the idea that, you know, more and more within different industries, remote working should be eminently possible. And I am sure there are companies, not just within the media, but across the board, where actually somebody could quite easily work from home and talk to people over the internet, do, you know, Google Hangouts or Skype or whatever it needs to be.
As we sit here recording a podcast over Skype.
but there's no reason. In a lot of cases, it seems to me that it comes back to a cultural thing, that there's this idea that, oh, yeah, if someone's sitting at home, they're probably not doing as much work as they would do when they're in the office. And it seems to all tie into the same thing, that there's this tipping point coming where people are going to have to accept that flexibility is part of the norm. But where does it, in your mind, Han, where does that tipping point come? At what point do companies across the board just realize that this is the future and they're going to have to embrace it?
I think it's already here. I think the fact that two-thirds have said that they voted with their feet or are about to should be a pretty huge wake-up call for the right people.
Yeah, good point, yeah.
It's just whether they want to hear it or not, or whether they're happy to let good talent slip.
So like you said, two-thirds of people, just to clarify on that statement, two-thirds of people have either left their job or are thinking about leaving their job purely because they can't have that flexibility.
That's right. So we profiled a few different reasons as to why. And obviously salary is still a key reason in there. But I think over close to 40%, as you said, across both, flexibility to allow me to fulfill my parental responsibilities. That was the question. So it wasn't just flexibility for flexibility's sake. It was specifically about fulfilling parental responsibilities. And that was the thing that almost 40% of people who have either left or are thinking of leaving soon have said.
Mm. Well, I mean, I'm not an HR expert, but I presume that the big companies like Diageo, Aviva, O2, who have made these big moves to improve fathers' rights and fathers' enhanced pay, they have realised that if they're going to get talent drain, to go out, the cost of go out and re-recruit somebody into those roles that are losing is more expensive than making the changes to their policy to hang on to the existing staff.
That's right. And I think it's probably no coincidence that there's been more shift of that in the first few months of this year than probably in the entirety of the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. Well, it feels like that. It feels like almost every other week another company comes out and says, we're a dad-friendly company,
That's right.
or we're a parent-friendly company. come and work for us.
That's right.
You know, I know there's another newspaper group which has got extremely enhanced, parental. It would make you think. I think if you were,
If you were considering moving anyway, but and you know you're going to be starting a family at some point or expanding your family, then yeah, you might think actually that will become a massive, massive bonus.
Yeah, or if you were thinking about leaving that company.
Well, yeah, exactly.
And you think, I'm going to lose this. I mean, I know anecdotally from talking to mums who have decided to stay at a company because it's got great parental benefits for them when they've been off. And you know, it's no reason why it shouldn't be exactly the same for dads.
So what do you think is the future with this hand then? Where do you see this all going in the next few years?
Well, we hope this can be a real kickstart and a real call to action to really drive change for organizations. And I think it's twofold for me. It's about helping dads, first and foremost, know that it's all right to actually feel this way and actually to want that change. Because I think there is still a lot of tension that, you know, quote unquote, dads should just be at work and that sort of belief. And sometimes when you're told that consistently and you're rebuffed, say, in your request, you kind of start maybe thinking that yourself. But actually, no, I think what we want to call out is, you should want to parent in a very different way. That's okay. You should want and have every right to work a different way wherever effective and appropriate. So one that actually just changes possible for the individual. And then also helping the right organizations with their change as well. So we're inviting more and more to be part of our mentoring program. We're getting in touch with a few. And really, I guess what we hope is through the hub by profiling the best. That can be a wake-up call and hopefully set off a little bit of competition between the different organizations as well to say, actually, why aren't we being profiled in this way? Why aren't we being thought of as a dad-friendly employer? Because some of the stats and the levels of change, dads are already voting with their feet. So it's about time that we start to create, for us, I guess, what's true equality at work. And there's been so much focus on mums, and rightly so. You could argue that there's still a long way to go for mums as well. But for us, there's been this missing component, this kind of missing 50%, if you like, around we're only going to get unlocked true equality if we do it for both sets of parents.
Absolutely right.
And that's what we ultimately have to get to.
That seems like a good point to leave it. Rich and I are on board, by the way. We're fully behind this. And, we'd like to hear from anybody who's listening about their parental leave policies and any anomalies, any issues that they've faced. You can email us at firsttimedads@reachplc or send us a message on Twitter or contact us in the comments section underneath the iTunes area of First Time Dads, because we always want to hear from real dads about what's going on.
Absolutely, yeah. More feedback the better, please.
Great stuff.
And Hanson, I'm glad that Daddy Life's doing well. And if we can help out any more on your campaigning, then please let us know, and we'll send people in the direction of the new Dad Hub.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, well, I'll drop you the links after this so you've got them. And also, I'd love to find a chance to profile you guys as well, actually, what you guys are doing. Because actually, even the podcast itself is just a great example, right, of an organization getting their dad voice out there. So I'm sure there's ways that we can hopefully profile and get that out there too.
Good. Up for that. Always a bit of publicity for us.
Any free publicity is good publicity, as far as I'm concerned. Hans Sandfeld, thank you very much indeed.
Good.
We'll take you up on that. It's on air now, so you're committed to it, I'm afraid.
Cheers, Hans. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Charles. Really appreciate
it. Cheers, mate. Bye-bye.
Cheers, Hans. Bye.